escape pod ready.
Launch escape pod.
November 11th.
The logbook.com's escape pod has settled into orbit again for a look at the fantastic, the futuristic, and the unreservedly geeky. I'm Earl Green, and I'll be your tour guide as we relive what tomorrow looked like yesterday. On this day in 1966, it was the final launch of the Gemini program.
Liftoff came at 3:46 Eastern Standard Time. The launch vehicle propelled the spacecraft as smoothly as it had in 11 previous flights, and Gemini 12 was headed for an orbit of 146 by 87 nautical miles.
Astronauts Jim Lovell and Buzz Aldrin lifted off aboard Gemini 12, and Aldrin's suggestions for making spacewalks safer and less exhausting paid off. The three-day flight was the last undertaken by a two-man crew until the early shuttle flights. In 1982, a buggy software upgrade silenced the original Mars Explorer. NASA's Viking 1 lost contact with Earth and never regained it. But it set the bar for future Mars landers and rovers by lasting years beyond its original projected lifespan. Its six-year record of continuous operation on Mars wasn't surpassed until the Opportunity rover outlasted it in 2010. On the same day, NASA launched Space Shuttle Columbia on its fifth flight and the first fully operational flight of the shuttle program, complete with two satellite launches for commercial clients.
And now we're listening to the voice of Hugh Harris at launch control here as we're well within a minute of launch time, coming down to 50 seconds 49.
Used to ensure that any hydrogen flowing through the engines prior to ignition does not accumulate, causing a small explosion. T-minus 30 seconds. We're just seconds away from switching command of the countdown from the ground computers to the onboard computers. And the SRB development flight instrument recorders are on. And we have a go for auto sequence start. T-minus 21 seconds and counting. The SRB nozzles are being moved through a test pattern to launch position. T-minus 15 seconds. 13, 12, 11, 10.
You hear them counting down. 6, 5,
we have ignition.
We have ignition now. It's into play. And we see the smoke. We now have movement. We have liftoff, friends. A flight of five. It's toward the tower. It's now into its roll program. And it's out of clear. And it's the first shockwave here. Rolling around 120 degrees so they go into space on their backs. Let's listen to the sound of it as we get it here and as we listen to Mission Control in Houston, Texas. Into a bright, cloudless sky.
Roll maneuver completed.
The roll maneuver's over now.
Seconds, Columbia now, 1 nautical mile in altitude, throttling engines down to 85% of program.
The whole Cape is shuddering to the sound of it and to the feel of it.
40 seconds, Columbia now, 2.5 nautical miles altitude, 1 nautical mile downrange.
Looking good.
Kurt Vonnegut Jr. was born on this day in 1922. Andy Partridge of XTC was born in 1953. In 1967, one of the most iconic Doctor Who villains thawed out for the first time in part one of the Ice Warriors.
What is it? It's like a Viking warrior. Look at the helmet.
Frozen for centuries in the ice. Perfectly preserved.
Ooh, that's odd, though.
What?
Who are you?
An addition to our staff, Arden. What's odd, Doctor?
Well, the helmet is wrong. When this man was frozen to death, only primitive cavemen existed.
Well, I say it's an undiscovered civilization. Think of the implications.
Well, what's supposed to happen, Doctor?
You see, this fellow Arden has set the electricity so that the ice melts very slowly, allowing for the resistance.
It's working quite quickly.
Well, I expect there's some impurities in the ice. I say. Look at that. What is it? An electronic connection. Sure of it.
Can't be.
Now you wait here and don't touch it.
In 1982, Konami introduced Time Pilot to arcades across America. Atari was off to the races again in 1983 as it rolled out Namco's arcade racing sequel, Pole Position 2. In 1991, the heroes of Star Trek and The Next Generation teamed up against the Romulans in part two of the 25th anniversary special, Unification.
Excuse me, I'm just finishing up a speech for you, Mr. Spock. I rather enjoy writing. I don't get to do it very often in this job.
Perhaps you would be happier in another job.
In a few hours, you will deliver this statement alongside our Senate proconsul. It will announce to the Vulcan people that a peace envoy is on its way from Romulus. We will transmit it on all Federation subspace frequencies.
Peace envoy? And a stolen Vulcan ship?
In the meantime, Ambassador Spock will be telling his people to welcome the peace envoy. And when they do, our forces will seize control before anyone realizes what has happened. Reunification will become a fact of life.
I will not read this or any other statement.
If you do not, you will die. All of you will die.
Since it is logical to conclude that you will kill us in any event, I choose not to cooperate.
And in 1993, it was an explosive cliffhanger as the crew of Red Dwarf ran out of time.
Threat warning. Vessel off the stern. They've got a missile lock on us.
Our future selves are attacking us.
They're nuts. Direct hit. The gyroscope's out.
They're trying to disable us.
Another lock.
Incoming message.
Gentlemen, we have no intention of being deprived of the opulence and luxury the time drive provides. Either you give us access to the data we require, or be prepared to be blasted out of the sky.
But if you kill us, you'll cease to exist.
Better that than be forced to live like you. Like rats trapped together, marooned in deep space. Your answer, 30 seconds.
So what do we do? Have we got any chance of winning?
Their craft is greatly upgraded. We have no chance whatsoever.
Then I say fight.
Mr. Rimmer?
Better dead than snake.
You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. The two DVD set, Phosphor Dot Fossils, offering a six-hour tour through an audio-visual timeline of the early history of video games, is now available at a special price. And you can pick up our other original books and DVDs, along with hundreds of other titles, anytime in the logbook.com store. Thanks for listening to The Escape Pod.
Escape pod was written and produced by Earl Green.
Victoria?
What?
Do you see how those lassies were dressed?
Yes, I did. And trust you to think of something like that.
Well, couldn't help thinking about it.
Well, I think it's disgusting, wearing that kind of thing.
Oh, so it is. So it is. You don't see yourself dressed like that, then?
Jamie!
Oh, I'm sorry. It was just an idea.